Welcome everyone, it's good to see you here, and welcome if you're joining us online. I thought I'd take this opportunity to tell you about the charity of the month that we're supporting. There's more details on the board at the back, but the charity of the month we're supporting is Christian Compassion Ministries. What they do is they're based in the Philippines, and in central Manila, there's a tremendous amount of poverty, proper slums where people are living in dreadful conditions, and the church is going out to them not just to share the good news of Jesus, but to provide support for them in that situation. So our collections this month in the Charity of the Month go towards supporting that good work. So it's putting faith into action for those very needy people. Well, let's start our worship by singing. And we're going to recognise in our song just how great our God is. So when the music starts, please stand and sing. God, we ask that now you'll send your Holy Spirit. You've promised that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are here in the middle of us. And Father, we pray that that will be something that we know. We pray that there will be a sense that we are meeting with our God. Oh, we are so glad that you call us to come to you as our Father. And we are so glad that you are so much better than the best father that any of us has had. Oh Lord, we thank you for them. But we are glad that you are good beyond measure. We thank you that you know about each one of us, and we thank you that as we come to you now, you know our needs, you know our hearts, and we realize that you, the God who made everything, the God who controls everything, the God who is without beginning and without end, knows and cares about us. Lord, you know how many hairs are on our head this morning. You know how we got up, and we can bring our worship to you. And we pray that our hearts will be filled with just how awesome you are. We pray that we will want to know more about you, and we will want to show what we know about you by the way we live. So, Lord, we pray that you'll be with us as we worship now. Amen. So we are going to hear from God now as we look at his word. We're in Matthew chapter 16. And that's on page 822 of the church Bibles, if you've got one. So this is what God has to say to us from his word. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Well, Mark's going to be teaching us later from that passage, and we're looking forward to that. But before that, we're going to sing again. And then John is coming with the children's talk. So if you're at primary age school, do come up after our next song, which celebrates how God's Son came to this world for us. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe."
Oh,
This morning, and I'm going to actually say something that I was going to say tonight, but now I'm doing the children's talk, I can do it properly with you guys this morning. And it involves a bag of sweets. Father's Day today, I don't know whether you've given any sweets or chocolates maybe to anyone, have you? You have? Yeah. Well, it's a bag of sweets here I've got. It's not one I was given. I don't actually like these sorts of sweets, but maybe you do. What sort of sweets are these? Licorice, what's the name of them? Licorice all sorts. Do you like licorice all sorts? Mixed feelings about this, licorice all sorts. Now, the thing about licorice all sorts is the way in which they all come in different shapes and sizes. They're called licorice all sorts. So if I tip them out, you can see. There we go. So, some pink ones. What else you got there? Blue, yellow. Those are the main colours. Different colours and different shapes. So you've got some chubby ones, and you've got some thin ones, different shapes and sizes. And they're a bit like us. We come in different colours and different shapes and sizes. Okay, people have different colour hair and different colour eyes and different colour skin. And some are particularly thin and others enjoy their food lots, perhaps. So we come in different shapes and sizes, so they're a bit like us. But there's something else that's different about these licorice all sorts. What had they all got in? It's another colour that they've all got in, as well as the pink and the blue and the yellow. Yeah, somebody said it, one of you said it. Black. Yeah, they've all got black in. So in the middle, or in the layers. Now, some of them, the black's a bit hidden, isn't it? Others, they look as though they're totally black. And the Bible tells us that even though we're all sorts, we're all different, there is something that's sadly the same about us all, and that is that we've got sin in us. It's a bit like black, perhaps. We've got sin in us. There's a couple of verses that show that. I wonder if put the first one up. Can somebody read the white bit of those two verses? Yeah, Harvey, you're off on the volunteer, thank you.
There is none without sin, none. All people have sinned.
Thank you. So the Bible tells us that whatever our shape or size, we've done wrong, we've sinned, and it's bad news and sad news. We haven't just done wrong, we are wrong inside. We think nasty thoughts. We don't think right about God. We've got a big problem, and it's in all of us. For some people, it's perhaps quite obvious, you know, that looks all black. You think, well, you might look at some people and think they make no attempt to be nice. They're obviously people that do lots of wrong. Others, it can be hidden underneath, and on the outside, they look really nice. But we've all got this problem we've done wrong, and it's a big problem. We're like licorice all sorts. But there's something else it says a bit later on in the Bible, in that part, which reminds us that something else can happen to all sorts, which deals with this problem. I'm going to put another verse up. Perhaps is somebody else happy to read it? Yeah, Al? Anyone who asks for Lord for help shall be saved. And that's really saying anyone who calls out to be forgiven can be saved. It's also happened at Pentecost. And some of you have been doing that this morning, I think, haven't you? Something like that was said. And there were people there from different countries. So they would have looked different. And they spoke different languages. But they were all told, whoever calls out can be saved. Whatever your shape, size or colour. And that's the wonderful news of the gospel. It's true for you as well, that if you call out to Jesus,
in your heart, trusting in him, you will be forgiven for the things that are wrong inside. Now, I thought after this, after we've got this licorice all sorts, so it was a bit too late to go for me to head out to the shops. I thought perhaps I could have got a bag of mints, mint imperials. They are white on the outside, and they're white right through. And that's a bit like what God does for us when we ask him to forgive us. He forgives our sin, the problem that we've all got, and he makes us white and clean in his sight. So, a little bit of a lesson from licorice all sorts. Anyone want to take one? Assuming you're not allergic to any of them. Yeah, you can have a couple, actually. Have two each if you want them. Anyone else into them? No. Okay. There'll be a plate at the back at the end if anyone wants one. Okay, you can go to your seats now. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Let's pray again. Our Father, we ask that you'll help us to hear what you're saying to us, especially when it's things that we'd rather not hear. Oh Lord, we ask that you'll open our eyes as we look at ourselves, and that you'll help us to realise that in our hearts there is all sorts of blackness. Oh Lord, you know the things that we thought this week. You know the things that we've done this week. You know the things that we haven't done, and some of them have been because we're weak and human and fallible, and they haven't been what we should have done, but others are because we've chosen bad things to do. Oh Father, we are so glad that you teach us to confess our sins to you. Oh Lord, you know already, but you tell us that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and make us completely clean. Oh, Father, I pray that all here will know that because Jesus died, we're forgiven and free. And Father, I ask that you will give us a real heart for the good news of Jesus, for spreading that good news that anyone can be accepted by God. Anyone who calls on you can be rescued. And Father, I pray that you will be working. I pray that you'll be working as people think back to last week of the testimony that people heard on Friday evening, of the lessons that people have heard this morning. Oh Lord, we pray that you will be speaking, that you'll be calling people out of darkness into your glorious light. And we pray that that will be happening in our services today. Oh Lord, I pray that you'll help us to grasp how awesome Jesus is, how he is beyond comparing with anyone else, and yet he calls us to come. And Father, as we pray to you, we pray that you will give us hearts that line up with you, that as we know what you want, we pray that you will help us to pray your will be done, looking to do what you want. Oh Lord, help us to turn away from things that we know are not what you want. And Father, we pray that you will work. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll work in our country. We pray that you will give us good leaders. We pray that the truth will be valued more. We pray that your people will respond to the world that we live in the right way, so that we're better able to share the good news about Jesus. Father, as we come to you, you know that the atmosphere around us is one where we are told that we can dream for ourselves, we can fix things for ourselves, that it is by our efforts that we live our best life. Yet, We are weak children. There's so much we cannot control. We cannot control our own health. We cannot control our own safety. We are weak, but you are mighty. So as we come to you now, we cast our cares on you. Oh Lord, we pray especially that you'll be with those who have medical worries. Those who are troubled in their minds, oh Lord, do be with them too. Oh Lord, we thank you for the provisions that we have. We thank you for the healthcare service. But Lord, we know that we need you to work. And most of all, we need you to give us your peace. Oh Lord, as we have been hearing that our life is a journey to a final home. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be looking forward to that final home and to be living to please you, to be living to looking forward to your well done. And Lord, we pray that you'll be helping us to line up our lives for that. Oh Lord, we pray especially for those who are preparing for service this summer, whether it's on camp or Waipi holiday. Lord, I pray that you will draw them specially close to you. I pray that you'll help them to do what they need to do in preparation. But I pray that their lives will be an authentic witness for you, that you'll be specially blessing them, that you will shine through them. And Lord, I pray that for all of us. Oh Lord, do shine through us so that people will see how wonderful Jesus is. And Lord, I pray for Mark. Lord, I ask that you will take his preparation, take his words now, and speak to us through him. Oh Lord, we are glad that your Holy Spirit takes the words of an ordinary person and can change lives through it. And we pray that that will be something that happens for each of us now. Amen. So we're going to sing again. And then after that, we're looking forward to Mark coming to speak to us. And as we sing, we're praying. We're praying that God will speak to us. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Well, good morning, everyone, once again. It's good to see you all. A big welcome to you. And we're in a series on the life of Peter in our Sunday mornings. And it's fair to say that as we meet him this morning, again, he's on a pretty steep learning curve about who Jesus is. For a long time, he's recognized Jesus as master. Peter's been following him as disciple. He's known that Jesus has some level of authority. But after watching him heal the sick, after watching him calm a storm, after watching him feed thousands with a picnic, he's finally got to that point in Matthew 16 where Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says with confidence, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter's realized the true identity of Jesus. He finally gets it. Jesus is the Messiah, or the Christ. Jesus is the one that the Old Testament has been building up to. This is the promised king. Peter's understood that much. But then as we looked at last week, Jesus starts teaching him about the fact that he must suffer and die. And Peter takes him to one side and says, "Jesus, you can't be saying this. This is not going to happen to you." And he rebukes Jesus. And so then Jesus has to rebuke him, saying, "No, you're wrong." You see, Peter's understood that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's got that. But he has no idea what the Christ or the Messiah is. He's completely misunderstood that. And so Peter's learning that Jesus will suffer and he will die. And he's also had to learn that if he's going to follow Jesus, then he too will suffer and even die. But Peter's just about to learn a whole lot more about what it means that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And so are we, because we're going to follow in Peter's footsteps. We're going to see what he sees this morning. And what happens up on the mountain, as we look at it this morning, should massively impact how we see Jesus and how we respond to him. And that really is my prayer for us this morning, that as we look at this sort of incident, as it were, up on the mountain, that it will really impact how we see Jesus and how we respond to him. So we're at the start of Matthew 17, and at the start of the chapter, we find something quite rare in Matthew. He tells us how many days have passed. He gives us a sort of time. It's 6 days. And why does Matthew tell us this? Well, it's because he wants us to be very clear that what he's saying in Matthew 17 links to what he's just been saying at the end of Matthew 16, what we were looking at last week, what I've just been talking about. So verse 1, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother." So he's not taking all the disciples, just these three. "And he led them up a high mountain by themselves." But when they get to the top of this mountain, it's not just going to be the incredible views of the breathtaking scenery that astound them. One of my favourite activities that we do on the summer camp that we run here, and I know it's many other people's favourite as well, is what we call town-wide games. And we go to somewhere like Hastings or Rye, been to places like Lewis in the past, and the leaders often dress up. And the campers then have to find us to sort of hunt the leader. And it's quite fun. It takes a bit of courage at the beginning when you first walk out of the changing rooms or the toilets and people look at you weird. But it's a lot of fun. And over the years, among other things, I've been a pirate, a road sweeper, Pinocchio, a Viking, an old man, a superhero, and I've even been Prince William. And it's quite fun when you watch other leaders sort of head into the toilets as themselves and then a few minutes later come out as some completely different character. But of course the campers know that it's just an outfit that we've got on. They know we haven't actually transformed into a Viking. You know, that at the end of the game when they've done all the silly things that we get them to do, that we will take that outfit off and it will be us. They'll see us, the real Mark, the real whoever it is. And at the top of this mountain, Peter, James, and John are about to get a glimpse of the real Jesus. They're going to see who he really is. It's as if he sort of takes off his human outfit just for a few moments, and they see who Jesus really is. They see his glory. So this is verse 2. So they're up on the mountain, and Jesus was transfigured. So this is called the transfiguration. Many of you will know that. It means that he was completely changed, completely transformed. So Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. It's hard for us, isn't it, to imagine just what this was like. But today is the longest day of the year, and you may have also noticed that there are exclamation marks on the weather forecast. Have you seen that? Because it's so sunny and so hot that they've put exclamation marks there. And so we know a bit of what the brightness of the sun is like, don't we? In fact, I went for a walk about 9:30 this morning, and there were moments where I could barely keep my eyes open because the sun was so bright and it was sort of dazzling me off cars and things. And of course, people in the Middle East back then certainly knew what the sun was like. And so here we see Jesus' face shining like the sun. Some of you will think back to Exodus when Moses climbed the mountain. Do you remember he had that encounter with God and he comes down and his face is glowing? And people are afraid of him because of that. But with Moses, it's a bit like the moon. His face is glowing, but it's a reflection of God's glory on him. Whereas with Jesus here, this light is emanating from him. He is the source of light. This is the full glory of God shining through him. But then Peter sees more. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. We don't know how they knew it was Moses and Elijah. We're not told, but they did. And Matthew doesn't tell us what they were talking about, but Luke does. So just going to skip into Luke quickly. Luke tells us that they were talking about Jesus' departure, or another way you can translate it as his exodus. In other words, they were talking about Jesus' death. They were talking about Jesus going to Jerusalem to die so that he could rescue all those who trust in him from slavery to sin and death and give them freedom. That's what they're chatting about. I would have loved to have listened into that conversation to know just how much depth they went into. But just briefly, it is striking, isn't it, that you've got Jesus here on this mountain and he's surrounded by light and glory, and he's next to or in between two great men from the Old Testament. And it's a time of glory and light. But he's talking about a time when very soon he'll be in a place of shame and darkness. And either side of him will be two convicted criminals. It's quite the contrast, isn't it? Well, Moses and Elijah, they were key Old Testament figures. They're often seen as symbolizing the law and the prophets. And in Matthew, quite a few times, Jesus talks about the law and the prophets. Both Moses and Elijah had special encounters with God up on a mountain. But also, both of them were seen as sort of pointing to the Christ. So Moses called himself a model of the great prophet to come. And Elijah was seen as sort of the forerunner to the Messiah. So here we have both Moses and Elijah, and it's as if they're testifying, yes, this is Jesus. He's the one that you've been waiting for. He is the Messiah. He's the King. This is the one. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God to us. And guess who pipes up at this moment? If you know Peter, you'll know it's Peter. What does he say? Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I'll make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Or maybe he's being sort of hospitable here. You know, what can I do? Sort of provide a little tent for you. Maybe he's thinking back to the tabernacle in the Old Testament. There's strong possibility that's kind of what he's thinking, at least in the back of his head. Sort of tabernacle, you can sort of live there. We don't know exactly what he's thinking. But neither does he. Luke and Mark kind of rat on him a little bit. They tell us he didn't know what he was saying. He's just sort of babbling. Matthew doesn't tell us exactly that he doesn't know what he's saying, but he makes it pretty obvious, because look what happens as he's still speaking. Verse 5, Peter was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. Now, just very briefly, there's two things going on here. Firstly, God the Father is leaving Peter, James, and John with no doubt whatsoever that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the first thing. The second thing is that the God the Father is honouring his Son. And just as Jesus is really starting to set his face towards Jerusalem, God is honouring his Son and encouraging him and saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, because he is obeying me." Well, today is Father's Day, as we've already mentioned. It's a day of celebrating fathers. But here we almost have the opposite. We have the Father celebrating and honouring the Son. And years later, when Peter's looking back on this episode, this is what he writes. This is in 2 Peter. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to this. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honour and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." See, Jesus is being honoured by the Father, and the disciples are left in no doubt, this is the Son of God. Of course, those of you who know your Bibles will remember these words. You'll be thinking, those are familiar. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." Where's that from? It's from his baptism. Remember that scene when Jesus is baptized and the heavens are torn open? But there's a bit added here, if you noticed. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. And Peter especially needed to hear this. You know what Peter's like with his kind of over-enthusiasm about things and his mouth that says things too quickly? Maybe some of us can understand that and sort of feel for him a little bit. But he's very quick to misunderstand Jesus. He wants to keep figuring things out himself, to work out what's going on, to fit things into his frame. But he just keeps getting it wrong. And God is saying to him and to the other disciples there, "This is my Son. He has supreme authority. You must listen to him. Even when he tells you about suffering and dying. Even when he tells you about things you don't want to hear about. Even when he says things that you think are wrong, listen to him, Peter." And for me, this has been one of the big take-home lessons for all of us this morning. And so I've just got a couple of sort of big take-home points for us today. And this is the first one. And it is very simply that we need to listen to Jesus. And we need to listen to Jesus because of who he is. Because of who we've just seen that he is. You see, Jesus says an awful lot of things that cut directly across what our culture might say. And Jesus says an awful lot of things that cut directly against what we might want and what we might choose and how we might think things should be. So instead of putting ourselves first, Jesus says, no, we've got to love our neighbours as ourselves. Instead of living out whatever identity we feel we have, Jesus tells us, no, actually, you need to deny yourself. You need to take up your cross and you need to follow me, Jesus says. Instead of doing what we want all the time, Jesus says, no, I want you to obey me. Jesus says lots of things that make this life considerably more uncomfortable for us. And if we don't get, and if we don't understand who Jesus really is, then we will have no desire whatsoever to listen to him and to do what he's saying. This is why some of the Jews of the day struggled with Jesus. So you remember after the feeding of the 5,000, we read about it in John 6, and it says this. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I've come down from heaven? You see, in their heads, Jesus was just this guy from down the street. We know his family, it's just Jesus. Who does he think he is saying this stuff? And so when he's teaching them things, like, they just grumble against him. And if we see Jesus as just a wise teacher, or a moral leader, or even if we see him as the greatest leader or the most significant person of all mankind, but that's all we see him as, then there is still no way that we will truly listen to what he's saying, that we'll truly do what he says. But when we see him as we see him in Matthew 17, when we see him with the sort of the veil gone, as it were, in his true glory, then we see that he has authority over us. We see that we're called to submit to him. And actually, whether you're a Christian here this morning, or whether you're decidedly not, we're still called to obey Jesus. We're still called to do what he says. And we can't just sort of pick and choose the bits of what Jesus says that we like. You know, I like those bits, I'll do that bit, but some of those other bits, I just don't fancy doing that. Let me ask you this morning, are you listening to Jesus? Are you doing what he says? It's really challenging, isn't it? Just thinking it through this week, when you think about all the things he says, we desperately need God's help to do this. We can't do it alone. And it's easy to think we know this story really well. So maybe we look at Peter and he's just not getting it. And, you know, they ask some questions after this as well, if you've read on. And, you know, and you sort of think, Peter, come on, just get it. And maybe we feel here with almost a sense of smugness that we get it. We know that when Jesus goes up that mountain, it's going to be the transfiguration. Maybe before you walked in this morning, you knew that was what was going to happen. And you feel like, Peter's pretty slow to get it, but I know it. I know it. And maybe you feel there's a sense of, well, I know everything I've said this morning. Maybe you feel that. And so there hasn't been any response from you as you've been listening to these things. Well, let me ask you this morning, do you really know what's going on here? Have you really grasped the magnitude of what's going on here? And are you truly listening to Jesus in the light of that? Not just do you know the story, as it were, do you know what happens? But is it shaping your life? Are you truly listening to Jesus? Does your life reflect the fact that you know that Jesus is the majestic Son of God? I found it really challenging thinking about that this week. You know, Peter was slow to get it, perhaps understandably, considering the wonder of what Jesus was doing. But you know, when he did get it, when he really understood what Jesus had come to do after Jesus had died and risen again, Peter really listened to Jesus. And he really did take up his cross and follow Jesus. And I'm sure that the experience that he had here, as he witnessed the majesty of Jesus, gave him courage to follow Jesus and to know that one day he would share in that majesty of Jesus. So that's my first take-home point to really think about as you go into the rest of today and the rest of this week. Listen to him, God the Father says. But the second one, it struck me, and I want to share it with you, is really the tenderness of Jesus. The tenderness of Jesus. When Peter and James and John experienced God's presence, how did they react? What did they feel? It tells us verse 6, they fell on their faces and they were terrified. When you read through the Old Testament, whenever you find someone having an encounter with God, what do you find? They fall on their face. They are in awe. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, no one else was even able to touch the mountain because of God's presence and God's holiness. As Hebrews tells us, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so here are Peter and James and John, and they feel terrified by God's presence. And it's a right reaction to feel this way. But they also feel something else. Verse 7. But Jesus came and touched them. And he says to them, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, I wonder if that was me, whether I'd have just been like, come on, get up, from a bit of a distance. But Jesus doesn't do that. He goes over to them and he touches them. And he says, rise and don't be afraid. It's an incredibly powerful moment, actually, I think. It reminds me of the vision that John has, the Apostle John has in Revelation 1. Let me just read that briefly to you. It says, when I saw him, this vision of Jesus, John says, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. See, here's the lesson for us. It is Jesus that enables us to stand in the presence of God. It is Jesus who enables us to not be afraid in the presence of God. As the suffering Messiah, but also the glorious Messiah, he's died and he's risen again. He's conquered death so that all those who trust in him can have life and righteousness. And so even though we are so unworthy before God, he deals with us tenderly. Even though he is so glorious and majestic, he loves to forgive sinners. He loves to come to where we are. It's as if he comes to us and he touches us in love. And he says, get up. Let's celebrate. It is Jesus and Jesus alone who can turn our fear of God's presence into joy. It's Jesus and Jesus alone who can turn our death into life. I just want to just share this warning very briefly, but it's important to say that all of us, the Bible says, will one day face God. And without Jesus being there, that is a terrifying prospect. Have you asked Jesus to be with you on that day? To be able to tell you to stand and to not be afraid and to have joy in the presence of God. That is my plea with you if you haven't already. Ask Jesus to come and to be with you. And because of his tenderness, he will delight in doing just that. So just to finish, last week, Peter and all of us, if we were here, saw Jesus as the suffering servant. This week, Peter and all of us have seen his majesty. And so the question is, how will you respond? How will I respond as we reflect on who Jesus really is? Amen. Well, we're going to sing a song now that reflects on some of these themes. Sovereign Lord, we sing your glory. And I think verse 3 particularly links in well. So let's stand when we can and sing together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the revelation that we have seen this morning, and we are incredibly privileged to see it. And I thank you that through Jesus, Lord, we can look forward to enjoying his glory one day, truly and forevermore. And I pray that these things will impact how we respond to you. Help us as individuals and as a church to listen to you for your honor and your glory. Amen.